I'm Mike, here for the signal, not the spin.
And I'm Lauren. Japan just reclassified Bitcoin as a financial instrument, like a stock. But the real story isn't what they changed. It's what hasn't changed. Your ability to hold your own keys with better protections than ever.
Right. So here's the question that should matter to you, whether you're in Tokyo or Topeka. If your country suddenly treated Bitcoin like a stock, would you still control your own coins? Or would you just be handing them over to a broker? Because the answer isn't obvious, and Japan's about to show us why.
Stick with us for the next few minutes, and you'll walk away with a concrete 4-step playbook for self-custody that borrows the best from Japan's regulatory leap. Whether you're staring at a hardware wallet or just thinking about buying your first sat, you'll know exactly what to do next.
Let's start with the raw numbers. Japan's Bitcoin holdings hit an estimated 5 trillion yen by the end of 2025. That's about $33 billion. This isn't speculation from a handful of crypto bros. This is a national signal. And the new rules don't ban self-custody. They actually incentivize it.
So what changed? Japan is moving Bitcoin from the Payment Services Act, the law meant for payment methods like credit cards, to the Financial Instruments and Exchange Act, same law that governs stocks. That means insider trading bans, mandatory annual disclosures, stiffer penalties for unregistered exchanges.
And the operator takeaway? You can now treat Bitcoin like an investment asset without surrendering control. The tax reform is the big one here. Progressive rates up to 55%. Imagine paying more than half your gains in taxes are being replaced with a flat 20% self-assessment rate.
That's a direct nudge to hold your own Bitcoin. Because you only report what you sell, not what you move off an exchange. So if you transfer coins from an exchange to your hardware wallet, that's not a taxable event. That changes everything for the serious holder.
We're going to show you why this regulatory upgrade doesn't weaken self-custody. It actually strengthens it. The answer isn't obvious until you see how Japan's JVCEA green list and custody incentives work together. That's the puzzle we'll solve in the final third of the episode.
Bitcoin Veterans is building a community where service, purpose, and Bitcoin come together. Through education, events, podcasts, and meetups, they help veterans connect, learn, and find a new mission in the Bitcoin space. Learn more at bitcoinveterans.org.
You're listening to BitTalk, a podcast about Bitcoin, money, freedom, and the ideas that matter. If you're getting value from the show, like, follow, and subscribe. It helps more people find this content and helps spread Bitcoin.
So let's dig into what actually changed. The cabinet approved these amendments on April 10th, 2026, with an effective date of fiscal 2027, pending Diet approval.
Right, and the shift from the Payment Services Act to the Financial Instruments and Exchange Act is huge. Under the old framework, Bitcoin was legally a payment method. Exchanges needed to register, but the rules were about consumer protection for payments, things like segregation of customer funds. The new framework treats Bitcoin as an investment asset.
Remember Mt. Gox? Japan learned the hard way that oversight matters. This is the grown-up version. When you see a country that lost billions in the early days of Bitcoin, now holding $33 billion, you know something shifted in their approach to custody.
But let's pressure test something. Does the new law force you to use a regulated exchange? No, it forces exchanges to follow rules. Your own wallet is untouched and actually better protected because the on-ramp is safer. That's the key distinction.
Exactly. The Japan Virtual and Crypto Assets Exchange Association, JVCEA, maintains a green list of tokens. Bitcoin is the anchor token. It's fast-tracked for listings based on adoption, trading history, and compliance criteria. That means exchanges can list Bitcoin quickly without going through a lengthy review process.
So the message is clear. If you're an exchange, you can list Bitcoin without bureaucratic delay. But you still have to follow the rules about reserves, disclosures, and insider trading. The point is to make the on-ramp clean, secure, and trustworthy.
And that's where the operator playbook starts. Step 1. Run a personal node. JVCEA standards for exchange compliance include proof of on-chain verification. Operators who run their own node match that standard. If the exchange can't lie to the regulator about its reserves, you can verify their claims by running your own node, just like the FSA expects.
Step 2. Tax prep for holdings. Japan's flat 20% rate is the goal. US, EU, elsewhere, still progressive. So track your UTXOs separately. Label exchange versus self-custody. When you sell, you know exactly which coins have the lowest cost basis. And you don't need a third party to tell you.
And step 3, diversify custody post-FIA. Insider trading bans reduce manipulation risk, but custodial single points of failure remain. Hardware wallets plus multisig. Japan's $33 billion lesson. Regulation protects direct holders more than custodians. The ETFs we covered a few weeks ago? That's the opposite model.
Step 4, global lesson. Verify before you ramp. JVCEA greenlist criteria, adoption, trading history, compliance, are a template. Before you buy on an exchange, check if it has similar standards. Proof of reserves, regulatory registration. Japan's approach shows that self-custody starts with a trustworthy on-ramp.
Okay, so Japan has these new rules. What does that actually mean for me as an operator right now? Does it change anything I should do today? Or just give me a distant regulatory curiosity?
Today, it changes your risk calculation. Tomorrow, it might change your tax strategy. But the core playbook, node, UTXO tracking, multisig, vet your exchange, those are timeless. Japan just proves they work at scale.
Bitcoin Veterans is a group of military veterans, and Bitcoin advocates focused on education, community, and helping veterans build purpose and resilience through Bitcoin. From podcasts and meetups to resources and events, they're creating a place for veterans to keep learning and keep growing. Visit bitcoinveterans.org to learn more.
And we're back.
So we've covered the four steps. Now let's look at the bigger picture.
Compare this to the US ETF custody model we talked about a couple weeks back. The ETF gives you exposure, but the intermediary is the custodian. Japan's model says, use the intermediary only to buy, then take delivery. That's a fundamentally different philosophy.
And compare to EU MiCA regulation. Broader, less specific to self-custody. Japan's JVCEA green list is unique. It's a private sector self-regulatory body with FSA recognition. That means the industry sets the bar, and Bitcoin passed the highest tier.
So the loop we opened at the start. Why does a regulatory upgrade strengthen self-custody? Because Japan treats the exchange as a regulated gate, not a cage. You enter through a secure door, but you're free to leave. The $33 billion in holdings prove people choose to walk out with their keys.
And the insider trading bans and disclosures reduce the risk that your exchange will collapse while you're moving funds. That's the missing piece. Regulation makes self-custody safer because the on-ramp is cleaner.
I've got a quick human moment here. A friend in Tokyo told me the biggest change he notices is that bank tellers no longer give him a hard time when he wires money to an exchange. It's just like buying stocks now, they say. That's cultural normalization.
That's huge. When the guy behind the counter at a Japanese bank treats Bitcoin like any other investment, you know the regulatory framework has done its job.
Now, let's debunk a common misconception. Some people hear financial instrument and think government surveillance of my wallet. But the FIA applies to issuers and exchanges, not individual holders. Your node, your hardware wallet, your private keys, unchanged.
The myth that regulation equals confiscation is rooted in examples like India or Nigeria, where rules were designed to restrict. Japan's path shows a different model. Regulate the service, not the asset. A Japanese citizen with a Trezor and a personal node needs no new registration. The only change is better recourse if an exchange misrepresents its reserves.
So if someone tells you Bitcoin is illegal in Japan, they're 15 years behind. Japan was one of the first to legally recognize Bitcoin as a payment method in 2017. Now they're the first to treat it as an investment asset.
Let's wrap this up with a quick recap of the four operator steps. First, run a personal node. Second, track your UTXOs with exchange versus self-custody labels. Third, use hardware plus multisig. Fourth, vet your on-ramp against green list-like criteria.
Japan isn't special because of its tech or its culture. It's special because it learned from failure and built rules that align incentives. The operator lesson. Don't wait for your country to get it right. Build your own compliance standards around self-custody.
Self-custody isn't just about security. It's about taking the signaling power of a national shift like Japan's and applying it to your own stack. When a country holds $33 billion in Bitcoin, the signal is clear. This asset is here to stay, and controlling your own keys is the rational move. Thanks for spending time with us on BitTalk. If this was useful, follow the show, leave a like, and subscribe. It helps more people find us and helps spread Bitcoin. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep stacking knowledge.